All right. Well, good morning. It's a little different this morning. We didn't have an early service, which means I didn't have a run through to practice. So y'all are getting the first take. No, but I'm very thankful for this opportunity. Very excited to preach. I love getting to speak and to preach. Very thankful that I have a staff that surrounds me, that encourages me, that uplifts me, and then also a church family that does the same. Very, very grateful and thankful for this opportunity. So as we're getting started, go ahead and flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. That's right. We're not in Matthew this morning. We're in 1 Corinthians. So go ahead and flip to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll start reading for us. It says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So, as you can tell, today we are talking about the body. Now, this is not an anatomy lesson, even though we are talking about our head, shoulders, knees, and toes. We will be talking about the church body. So as we dive into that, let's spend some time in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word and your truth, your grace and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for just giving me this opportunity to speak, Lord. But I pray that it's not me, that it's you speaking through me, Lord. I pray that your spirit moves. Lord, I pray that our hearts are attentive to you, Lord, that our ears and eyes are open and receptive to you, Lord, and that your spirit moves. God, I pray that we're encouraged, Lord, and that we're challenged, Lord. But ultimately, I pray that this message leads us back to you and leads us closer to you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So when I was in junior high and high school, I took a lot of healthcare classes because I thought I wanted to be a physical therapist. And as cool as that would be, clearly that's not where I'm at today. Now, I'm thankful for that because I love what I'm doing here, but I still love the idea of physical therapy and how you can grow your body back to be better and stronger and healthier. And I have learned a lot about that recently, but it is an incredible, incredible job. Now, as I was studying in junior high and high school, taking these healthcare classes, taking some anatomy classes, I learned some fun facts, all of which I have forgotten. So I had to go to Google for some, and some of these were quite simple. Some of y'all may know this already. There are 206 bones in the body. I had to look that up. So it's so cool, though. 206 bones in the body, and most of those are in your hands and in your feet. Very small bones. The one that shocked me the most is that there are 60,000 miles of blood vessels in the body. Now, that is crazy to me that there's even a mile of anything in my body, but 60,000 miles of blood vessels that are taking blood all over your body, to and from your heart. And then, like I said, I learned that there are four major ligaments in the knee this past summer. Learned that one the hard way, but learned it nonetheless. And in each of these instances, we can see that if one piece is messed up, then it affects the body as a whole. So when we think about 206 bones in the body. Even if it's a small bone, think of a little bone in your hand or a little bone in your foot. If that's fractured, it changes how your body does things. Whether how you grip or how you walk, it has an effect on the body as a whole. 60,000 miles of blood vessels. If there is one clot, that changes everything. And then whether you tear one, two, three, or four ligaments in your knee, it affects how you walk, your mobility. It affects your ability to play sports, apparently. It changes everything. And today, as we focus on the body in 1 Corinthians, we're going to be talking about the church body. Every single part matters. And if a single part is off, it affects the body as a whole. And so today's big idea is in part, play your part. In part, play your part. So as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we look at, okay, play your part, in part, all these parts, it's important for us to know, as the church body, who is a part. Who is a part? And so our first point is to play a part, you have to be a part. And we can find that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, where it says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." So it raises the question, who is a part of the body? Well, verse 13, it says that for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So it's people that have the same Spirit. Now, when I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of the book of Matthew. So don't worry, you're going to get your daily dose. Matthew chapter 3, if you've been with us, you know this story, hopefully. But in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing, and people are asking him who he is, what he's doing, and he is telling the people that, hey, I'm here, and I baptize with water. So John the Baptist baptizes with water. But the one that he's paving the way for is coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Matthew 3:11 specifically says this: "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So when we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, those that are a part of the body are, plain and simple, they're Christians. They're people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have turned their life over to the Lord and said, "God, my life is yours." And those are the people that are a part of the body. Now, as we get into the message a little more, and as we start talking about playing your part and what that looks like, I think it's important to go ahead and let you guys know that playing your part does not start when you get in the youth group. It doesn't start when you can drive. It does not start when you go to college or when you graduate college or when you have kids. No. It starts as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's when you become a part of the body. So, point one, to play a part, you have to be a part. Now that we've established who is a part of the body, that leads us into point two. Once you become a part of the body, your part is valuable. Play your part. Your part is valuable. Play your part. If you're anything like me, I have a tendency to compare myself to other people. Now, I'm surrounded by an incredible pastoral staff that are far more organized and structured than I am, and I'm very thankful for that. And there are times where I go, man, God, why can't you just give me that mindset? Or why can't you help me understand in this way? And quite frankly, sometimes it gets frustrating. But what I have to keep in mind is it is okay to desire other gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says this: "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will still show you, and I will show you a still more excellent way." Now, this is speaking specifically to prophecy, but I don't think it necessarily speaks only to prophecy. I think the concept carries outside of that. I think it's okay for me to be desiring this organization or this admin mindset. I think that's good, but I can't do that at the expense of what the gifts God has already given me. I can't drop everything that I have, everything that I am, my personability, my smiles, my joy, my happiness. Like, I cannot drop that to just say, all right, now I'm going to be the stone-faced person that's only organized. No. No. God has given me certain gifts to use. God has given you certain gifts to use. And in that, there's value. Your gift is valuable. Now, we can go one direction where I said we can just drop all of what we think are our gifts and just totally change. Or we can do what Scripture says. If we look in verse 14, it says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many members. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So it's very easy for us to say, you know what, God? I wish I were an ear. I wish I could hear. I wish I could listen to people well. And because I can't do that, I'm going to withdraw, and I'm not going to play my role in the body. Or we can say, you know what? I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let me be that. All right? But your part is the nose. You're supposed to smell stuff out. You can't just withdraw. The nose is important. All right? There are important parts of the body, and each part is valuable. Like I mentioned earlier, 206 bones in the body. All right? Even just the smallest bones in your hand. The right one breaks, then you can't grip as well, or you can't move things as well. The smallest parts of the body have value, which means, in this analogy, each and every person that plays a part, that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, every part of the body in this congregation has value. Now, the question is, do you play your part? And that's the question that I want us to ask ourselves going forward. Is we have a part that we can play. Do we play that part? Now, we can very easily get caught up in this idea of, man, I don't feel like I'm good enough for this. I think I should withdraw. And that's one way to think about our gifts. But sometimes it goes the complete opposite way, where we say, our gifts are so good. My gift is so great that I don't know why this person is even trying. And that's the mindset that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 25, where it says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So yes, we could very easily get in our head and say, you know what, God, the gifts that you have given me, I don't think it's going to further the church. I don't think it should be even a part of the body. We can have that mindset, or we can have the mindset of point three. As a part of the body, we cannot depart someone for their gifts. As a part of the body, we cannot depart someone because of their gifts. As I read this, I thought, man, the arrogance of someone to say, God, the gift that you gave them is just not good enough, and they should know it. The arrogance to say, you know what, God, I don't think that your gifts are good enough or valuable enough. But at the same time, I know I'm guilty of that. I know there are times where I go, you know what, God, like, you've given me these great gifts, and I'm so thankful for that. And I don't focus on the other parts of the body. I don't uplift and encourage the way that I should. Because if I'm being honest with y'all, especially in the children's ministry, if I start looking and saying, we don't need these parts of the body, then it would be a mess. Because the children's ministry has so many parts. We're like the hand, all the volunteers. It's just a bunch of little pieces that make the whole hand work. And I'm just a small part of that. But I'm a part of it nonetheless, and our children's volunteers are a part of that as well. And when all of our children's volunteers work together and our youth volunteers work together, we get a morning like this morning, where we can see the hands and feet at work, where we can see the kids singing and our preschoolers singing and our youth band singing and our kids and our youth praying and being a part of the service and leading. When our volunteers humble themselves and say, God, you have given everybody here a gift. Let's use these gifts to glorify you. We get a morning like this morning. And for that, I am so thankful. But we have to be weary of not saying, our gift is so good and our gift is great. Therefore, this person should just step back. No, absolutely not. It takes everybody. And with that, it leads us into point four. All the part. We've talked about part a lot. Part this, part that, in part. All the part is for the whole to glorify God. All this part is for the whole, for the body, to glorify God. There are so many parts of the body. But it all comes down to 1 Corinthians 12:26, where it says this. It says, if one member suffers, all members suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Our job is the whole. Our job as the body is to encourage and to uplift one another. No gift is greater than another, but all gifts are of value because God has given them. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body and you have a gift that is for you to put to use. And if you don't know what that is, then talk to those around you. Talk to your friends because they can encourage you. They can lift you up. They can say, I see this in you or that in you. And if you're hesitant and you say, you know what, I just, like the first person, I don't think I belong. My gifts aren't good enough. I haven't quite honed that skill yet. Well, let us put you with someone that has. That's what discipleship is. That's how we learn. That person that we look at that we say, they're such an incredible teacher. Well, yeah, because they learned under somebody. Or that person that's such a prayer warrior. Yes, they walked along somebody that was a prayer warrior. So if you think you have a gift or a passion, a talent, a desire to glorify the Lord, hey, let us know so we can put you alongside someone that also has that talent and that gift. And if you feel like you haven't honed yours in that well, let us know. Because we'll put you with someone that has. And they can teach you and lead you. That way, ultimately, you can be that person that teaches and leads someone else. Because all parts are valuable. Ultimately, you have to play your part. Remember, verse 26, if one member suffers, all members suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This isn't a individual gifts or talents. No, this is for the whole. This is for the body. Remember, the body does not work if the eye wants to be the ear or if the nose wants to be the feet. It doesn't work that way. No, we all have to come together to be a part of the body to glorify God. Now, like I mentioned earlier, this does not start at a certain age. So kids, listen up. This is our time. All right? Scripture tells us that when we become a part of the body, that we have a role that we're supposed to play. Sometimes we feel like we're too young to do that. Sometimes we say, we can't drive. You know, I'm not old enough to do that yet. What opportunities do I have as a kid? We'll give you opportunities. But the calling remains the same. If you are a part of the body, your calling is to play your part, whether you're in first grade or you're in fifth grade or you're anywhere in between. Kids, if you are a part of the body, you were called to play a role. You were called to mourn alongside those that mourn and rejoice alongside those that rejoice. That is your calling as a part of the body. It can't start in middle school. It starts as soon as you accept Christ. Middle schoolers, once again, this does not start when you turn 16 and can drive. No, this starts today. And I'm going to tell you, I know that you have opportunities to serve because I send lists down with Rob once a month. So you have an opportunity to serve. I know it. But maybe your passion isn't for helping kids. That's fine. That's okay. We have an Acts 1-8 team that I guarantee you would love to see a middle schooler show up because they're passionate about missions. If you're a middle schooler and you like working with your hands, like building things, we have a ramp team that builds ramps most Saturdays. I guarantee you they'd be overjoyed to see you show up and to help build a ramp. Okay? But say you can drive, 16 and up, high schoolers. Once again, the calling is the same. If you are a part of the body, play your part. Just like those middle schoolers, there are lists down there and opportunities for you to serve. But not only in the kids department, in missions, in the preschool, in any aspect that you want to serve, if you have a passion for serving the Lord, we can find you a place. Because ultimately, you are a part of the body. If you've accepted Christ, you're a part. It doesn't start when you get out of high school into college. In college, I can tell you, it's very easy to not play a part of the body because you go, I'm only here for 4 years. I'm only here for 2 years. So if you're in high school right now and you haven't figured out what it looks like to plug in and to be a part of the body, I'd encourage you to start now where you're at a church family that knows you, that loves you, and that can encourage you in your passions and your gifts. Because once you get to college, you're going to show up to a church that you don't know and with people you don't know. And that makes it a lot harder. So high schoolers, if there's a chance to serve the Lord in the church and to be a part of the body, now is the time to learn how to do that well. College students, yeah, you're here for 4 years. Great. Serve. Play a part. Does not say in Scripture that you can't play a part because you're only in a place for a certain amount of time. No, your job remains the same. You are a part of the body. You play your part. It doesn't start when you have kids. It doesn't start when your kids are in high school. And when your kids get out of high school, it doesn't stop. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called to play a part because you are a part. As we talked about, every part matters. Every part is valuable. Now, this can sound like a pretty exclusive message where it's only people that have accepted Christ. But I don't think so. Because, quite frankly, the Lord wants you to be a part of the body today. God has sent Jesus down to this earth to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be reconciled back to Himself. So that we could become a part of the body and so that we could glorify Him. So if you have any questions about what it looks like to be a part of the body, what it looks like to accept Jesus as Lord, what it looks like to walk in a life that Christ would want us to walk in, let us know. But if you're already a part of the body, it's time to find a place to play your part. We have so many ministries, so many opportunities. I know the kids' ministry has a million opportunities for you. That's a selfish plug. Not only that, VBS registration is up. So if you want to sign up to help with VBS, just know it's out there already. Big events, VBSD Now, great. Kids ministry, great. There's a youth ministry, great. Rob would love to have you talk to him. If you're passionate about missions, we have an Acts 1-8 team. If you like building things, like I said, we have a ramp team. And I can tell you there are probably ministries in this church that I don't even know of. We just started a Bible study on Friday with our youth boys. They would love drivers. Our girls would love drivers. There are so many opportunities for you to use your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve. But ultimately, are you going to play your part? I can affirm in everybody in here that your part is valuable. Scripture tells us that. Whether you're on the front lines or whether you're behind the scenes, every part is valuable. It's time for you to play your part. But if you're not a part of the church, you're not a part of the body, we'll have staff standing down here, and there are people all around you that would love to talk to you about who Jesus is. So with that being said, let's pray. Let's finish our worship. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the gifts and the talents and the passions and the skills that you have given us. Lord, I pray that we learn those and we know those. Lord, that we pray about those. Lord, that we find how we can use those well, because ultimately our desire is to glorify you, to uplift each other, to encourage the church, Lord, ultimately to give you glory. Lord, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your love for us. And Lord, we're so thankful that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins, saving us from eternal separation from you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.